Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
Let me say good evening to each and every one of you, and I want to thank you for extending an invitation to me tonight to come and to be with you and to declare the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's very nice to have with me my wife, Ethel, if you just stand so they can see you. We're glad to have her and to know that she has come with me tonight. Whenever I travel, I love to have her with me. Many times I find myself in the doghouse, and I'm glad that tonight I'm not, because sometimes I've been in there so long, I don't know whether to come out and shake hands with somebody or to bite them. So I'm just glad that she's with me and we are on good terms tonight. I want to thank Brother Winchester for the opportunity to introduce me as well as to make me feel welcome. There were three of the elders who were present, Brother Porter, Brother Lindsley, and also Brother Langley, I'm sorry, and Brother Riddle. They all three came and extended a warm welcome to each and every one of us. And I appreciate them doing that, Brother Porter, Brother Langley, and also Brother Riddle. And I appreciate not only them, but so many members extending a hand of love and fellowship with my wife and I when we entered the building. You didn't stop greeting us when we entered, and you haven't stopped even now. We appreciate all of that kindness and love. And I want to encourage you tonight. From the book of Acts, I understand that we are going to be dealing with the book of Acts. And I want to go to chapter 17, and the verses are 1 through 34. Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 34. And I want to talk to you tonight on the subject, turning the world upside down for Christ. Turning the world upside down for Christ. Now, I'm one of these types of ministers that move around a little bit. I don't think any of you are going to have trouble hearing me. I speak pretty loudly. And I'm also the type of minister that believes in extending an invitation to come to the Church of Christ at Jackson Street. At that congregation, we believe that everybody is somebody, and Jesus is Lord of us all. I've met a few of you at Disaster Relief, and I've met some of you at other places where I have spoken, and I appreciate you inviting me to Graymere to be with you and to encourage you from the Word of God. Acts chapter 17, turning the world upside down for Christ. I want you to know that Graymere Church of Christ is a focal point for Jesus Christ. It's a lighthouse. This congregation encourages those who are outside the ark of safety to come to Jesus Christ. And that's very important. Don't take your work lightly. I understand that this year you decided to evangelize right here at home. And that's good. That's very important. We evangelize all over the world, but we have an evangelistic ministry right here in Columbia, right here, right around Graymere. And it's very important that we understand that. It's very important that we know that we support the Word of God. And supporting the Word of God means that in whatever way we can, we invite others to be a part of what thus saith the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad to know that you do that with Brother Phillips, and I'm glad to know that he stands here from Sunday to Sunday declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ and encouraging this fine congregation, along with other ministers and along with all of the elders, along with the teachers. I appreciate that. All of the members together work to make this a lighthouse for Jesus Christ, to bring souls who are in darkness from the darkness to the light of Jesus Christ. That's extremely important. And I'm just very enthused by the opportunity to come here and again to declare unto you the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 17, starting at verse number 1, the Word of God says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Amphipolis, and when they had come, they came to Thessalonica from Apollonia, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner, was went in unto them. And three Sabbath days he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening the Word of God, and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ." The Bible says, "At Amphipolis and at Apollonia, the Word of God was taught. As they came to Thessalonica, the Word of God was taught. The Scriptures were preached unto them." And the Bible says in verse number 4, "Some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And at," the Bible says, "the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Bible says, the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company. And the Bible says, they set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these have turned the world upside down, and are come hither also." Now what the Bible is simply saying is that the Word of God was being preached, and the Word of God must be preached. The charge against these particular preachers, these first century Christians, was that they were turning the world upside down. Recent negative events that was mentioned in the prayer of last week have turned this world upside down in a very negative way. The death of a young man in Minnesota, and the death of another young man in Louisiana, and the death of 5 policemen in Dallas, Texas, the wounding of a number of individuals have left this world upside down, and especially these cities. All lives matter, especially to God Almighty. When we look at John chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible lets me know that God loves everybody. And if God loves everybody, he sent his Son into this world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. If we preach the Word of God, if we teach the Word of God, we turn this world upside down for Jesus Christ. Just the fact that Satan is out there trying to turn the world upside down ought to mean that those of us who are children of God do just the opposite. Turn it upside down for what is right instead of upside down for what is wrong. How did Paul and Silas turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ? Well, in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 2, it says, "By the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the world was turned upside down." Some folk don't like the Word of God being preached. Some individuals are all about storytelling. They're all about adding and subtracting to the Word of God, which the Word of God says in Revelation 22, don't do. They're all about putting their philosophy into this and into that. I want you to know that we've got to get back to preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ if we're going to turn this world upside down for Jesus Christ. We can teach a whole lot of things, but there's nothing better to be taught than that Jesus came to this world. He was born and he continued to carry out the message of his Father. He was crucified on Calvary for the sins of mankind. He was buried in Joseph's new tomb. But he got up, he resurrected, and because he lived and he died and he resurrected, we have the opportunity for eternal life. We have the opportunity tonight to be saved, and we ought to be excited about salvation. We've got a number of individuals who are preaching and teaching and adding and subtracting, but they are not teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a number of individuals who are telling the world that baptism is not important for individuals to be saved. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 21, the Word of God says, baptism doth also now save us. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but it's the answer of a good conscience towards the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, when people are not baptized and they are accepted and received into the church without that baptism, there's no way that they can be saved. But there are individuals who are telling you, it's all right. Just come on. Be a good person. Be of good cheer. Be loving. But the gospel says we've got to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized in order for the Lord to add us to his church. Now, when we're added to his church, we have to know what church we're added to. Matthew chapter 16 and verses 13 through 19, the Word of God says that we are added to the church that Christ built. He built one. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, what is the rock? The rock is the fact that Peter declared that thou art Christ, the Son of God. If it's Christ, the Son of God, that we are preaching, then we must be in the church that Christ built, not a man-made organization, not doing what man wants to do, but what the Word of God teaches us the early church did, according to the Word of God. We've got to get back to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul, the Bible says, as his manner, this was what Paul did on a regular basis, went in unto them three Sabbath days, reasoning with them out of the scriptures. Boy, I'm glad he said out of the scriptures, because it wasn't just out of his mat, it was out of the scriptures. And tonight I'm giving you a number of scriptures because that's what I am, a preacher who preaches nothing but the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've got to get back to the Bible. We've got to get back to the declaration of the truth. And the declaration of the truth doesn't just come at the hands of a man just standing and philosophizing, a man who's just adding to what he thinks ought to be done or subtracting from what he thinks shouldn't be there. The preaching of the gospel comes from the Bible, the Word of God. Now, if we go back to the Bible and let the Bible be the answer to everything that we do, we won't have congregations getting off base. We'll have congregations that are named after Jesus Christ, like Graymere Church of Christ. We will have those who are following God's plan of worship. I didn't see any musical instruments in here tonight, because I just don't find that in the Bible. I told you, I'll give you a number of scriptures. And I'll give you those scriptures because they declare what I'm teaching to be correct. Ephesians 5:19. The body is the tool of praise to the master. I can't add a musical instrument. The Bible tells me in Colossians 3:15-16. Hebrews 13:15-16. That the body, the lips are the tool of praise, the vocal cords of the master. We don't need any musical instruments. But I'm finding some congregations who are teaching, well, it's all right to have the traditional worship on Sunday morning, but we can have a non-traditional worship on Sunday night. On Sunday morning, we'll please all of the members of the church who have been here for years by having a cappella singing. But at night, we're going to please those who are coming in, those youth, those young folk that are going to be excited for the Lord. We're going to please them with the non-traditional worship, and we'll have some musical instruments as a part of our worship. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't find that in the Bible. And I can't add that I have to stay with the scriptures. There are people who want to commune once a month or once a year. Acts 20:7 says that upon the first day of the week, the apostles came together and they broke bread. And Paul preached until midnight. You've got preaching, you've got communing, you have singing a cappella. According to the word of God. And if we're going to get back to what God says, we've got to get back to the scriptures and do it just like God wants us to do. And I'm glad tonight you are doing exactly what God wants you to do when it comes to the singing. And I'm sure the same thing goes with the communion on Sunday. Giving. Well, I find people that say, well, we'll have communion once a month. Well, why don't you have collection once a month? We need that money. We got to have that money. 2 Corinthians 9 and 1 Corinthians 16. You're not going to go into a man-made organization and find them leaving out the collection once a month. But you'll find them terminating the communion so that everybody can move along real fast. In turning the world upside down, and getting people maybe angry at me tonight, or maybe not angry with me, and getting folks upset. We've got to go to the Bible, and when you go to the Bible and let the Bible be the answer, you won't have individuals divided when it comes to worship. In 2 Timothy 3:14, Paul tells the young man Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who'd you learn them from? Eunice and Lois. You learned it from mama, from grandmama. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If we want to be doing what God wants us to do, if we want to be involved in praying without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-17, rejoicing evermore, praying without ceasing. If we're going to be involved in the acts of worship the way the Bible says, we've got to come back to the Bible because it's perfect and it's thoroughly furnished with everything that we need from God. Paul charged the young man Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing of his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers have an itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, I finished my course, and I kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all of them who love his appearing. The Bible says, preach the word. Don't add, don't subtract. Preach the word. Nothing but the word. People will not want to hear the word. People will want to hear what they want to hear. People will want to hear what pleases them. And the word of God says, stick with the word. When you stick with the word, you're going to turn the world upside down, but you're going to turn it upside down for the Lord. And when you turn it upside down for the Lord, that's all right. In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. It's very important that we stick with the preaching of the word. Not only that, but I want you to know that true fellowship in Christ will turn the world upside down. True fellowship in Christ will turn the world upside down. Now we find this in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible lets me know that there were some 3,000 who were buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of sins. I'm happy about the baptisms that you all had. I'm happy about the baptisms that we've had recently at the Church of Christ at Jackson Street. I'm happy whenever anybody is baptized, because it's so important to see a soul snatched from Satan and given to Jesus Christ. Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse number 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. When Peter and the rest of the apostles were preaching on the day of Pentecost, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. All that believed, Acts 2, 44. All that believed were together, had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods, parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Boy, I just love that scripture right there, because it let me know that there was a lot of fellowshipping going on. And when people come by tonight, if they enter this auditorium, they'll see good fellowshipping taking place, just like my wife and I walked into when we entered the Graymere Church of Christ. They will continue to see that if we go forth out of here and let our light shine so that others might see our good works and glorify God, which is in heaven. We've got to show our neighbors that we are all about Jesus Christ. We can't have lewd and outlandish parties and good times because we're at our house to the point that we sin. And nothing wrong with having a good time, but not to the point of sinning, because the world is watching us. And as the world watches us, let our light shine. As the world tastes of us, as we're the salt of the earth, the world must see a fellowship that combines itself with the children of God and with the love for the word of God. That's shown when we interact with one another. What a beautiful prayer that was prayed Lord, it went over a number of things that are taking place here at Graymere. And Lord, bless this effort. And Lord, bless that effort. And Lord, take care of this. And be with our missionary. And be with this person and that person. That's fellowship. That's turning the world upside down. When we see all the demonstrations that have taken place last week and probably will continue to take place during this week. When we see a lot of individuals who are excited about what's going on around our United States of America, we as the children of God must come together and show the world the right way to fellowship and to love one another. It comes from them watching us. We've got to have love. We've got to have unity. Thousands of doors were knocked on by Graymere Church of Christ. You think that didn't make an impression on those people who don't know us? But I bet you they know the Jehovah Witness. I bet you they know them. Because they are all the time waking me up early in the morning on Saturdays. They are all the time trying to teach the Word of God and getting it distorted with half-truths. Charles Taze Russell should have been ashamed of himself, encouraging folk to go out and take false doctrine. We are the truth. We are carrying the truth. We are the children of God. We have to show that with a fellowship of love. It ought to be all races going together, just like they do when they come into the community. You can do that by getting together with other congregations. It's all right. For one congregation to be of one race, if all of the community around them are basically that same race. Now, if folk try to be one race and they move away when the community changes so that they can continue to be one race and they move away when the community changes so that they can be one race, that's not fellowship with God. That's not fellowship in love. That doesn't turn the world upside down. It turns the world to hatred. When we come together with congregations and show the world that we are pairing up, that we are coming together to invite you to know the Word of God, it turns the world upside down. Folk don't understand. How can those people get together with so much love at a time when Satan is preaching hatred? And that's what he's doing right now. He's going around preaching a whole lot of hatred. Whole lot of hatred. And that hatred is turning into the loss of lives. Lives that could be won for Jesus Christ. We have to have a true fellowship. If you'll continue to look in Acts chapter 17, thought I forgot that, but I haven't. Go to verse number 10. The Bible says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." The fellowship that I see taking place here is that there were folk who got upset with Paul, who got upset with the teaching that was going on. And they began to murmur among themselves. And they even brought in some, they say, of the baser sort, probably some liars. They gathered a company and they set the city in an uproar against Paul and the apostles who were teaching the gospel. But the fellowship of those who were right came together and sent Paul away by night unto Berea. You see how that fellowship worked? You see how that love worked? But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the Word of God, this is verse number 13, had knowledge that the Word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came together also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it was to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him, the Bible says, unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. The fellowship that I see here, the love that I see here, is just like the first century church. They felt it important to have the word taught by Paul. But every time they came after Paul, Paul was sent away somewhere else to teach the word of God. That's good fellowship. To take care of the man of God. To take care of those who are teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. To be aware that there could be danger. There could be harm that could come. And the word of God could be stopped. Every time they stirred up the people against the preaching of the word of God, the minister was sent somewhere else to continue preaching, not to hide, but to continue preaching the word of God. And every time he went to another place, he went preaching and teaching the truth of God's word. Go with me to 1 Peter, the word of God in 1 Peter chapter 1. We're looking at the demented Nero here. The Bible says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, the elect, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, to the foreknowledge of God and the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto abundance and obedience and the sprinkling of the of blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, the Bible says, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Now what's going on here? Peter is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The demented Nero is trying to persecute the children of God. Nero is so mentally disturbed that he's causing Christians to be thrust through with a spear and killed. Nero is feeding the Christians to lions to be killed. He's thrusting pregnant women through with a spear to kill the women and the children. The children of God are being imprisoned. But God has a way of protecting us when we come together with a true fellowship that puts him first. Notice he scattered them out, those children of God, the elect. He scattered them unto Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. He spread them out. And everywhere they spread it out, they continued to preach the word of God. And the Bible says, Peter told them, you have a reservation in heaven. Man, that's fantastic. To know that when I do what God wants me to do, and when I love like God wants me to love, and when I come together and put Christ first, and let my light shine, and let the salt of the earth be something that is tasteful and good, the Lord rewards me with a reservation in heaven. Wow. Isn't that great? Have you ever gone somewhere, and you've seen a long line? And you know that if you stay in that line, you're going to miss what you were trying to be a part of. But if you have a reservation, someone might just come while you're in that long line, maybe at the end of that line, and they might say to you, those of you who have this type of thing in your hand, if you have this type of badge on, would you please come forth? We have things reserved for you. Let me break it down a little bit more. Some of you have been to Disneyland or Disney World. For a little extra money, You can buy a pass that will move you to an entrance that will get you in much faster than standing in a long line. That's like a reservation. I've got a reservation. I can move forward faster and not miss what I'm trying to be a part of. Boy, when we are the children of God, and when we fellowship like God wants us to fellowship, and when we carry the gospel like God wants us to carry the gospel, the Lord says, I have a reserved place in heaven for you. John chapter 14 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And the Bible says that they wondered, where do you go? Thomas said, we know not whether thou goest, and how do we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When we fellowship right, God takes care of us. Notice in Acts 17, verse number 22, Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. Again, we see Paul moving around, Paul fellowshipping, Paul teaching and preaching. And lastly, we see a commitment from Paul. We see a commitment from Silas. We see a commitment from the apostles to the teaching of God's Word. Turn with me lastly to Acts chapter 5. And we'll look at verse number 12. And think about the other verses in between. The Bible says, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, the Bible says, did no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. Believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets. And the Bible says they laid them in beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Acts chapter 5, verse number 16. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, which the Bible says is the sect of the Sadducees. It's so sad that they didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were filled with indignation, laid hands on the apostles, put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple. The Bible says to the people all the words of the truth. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called counsel together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. And what they basically did was declared to them, didn't we tell you not to do this? Didn't we tell you not to preach the word of God? Look at the commitment. We straightly, verse number 28 of Acts chapter 5, we straightly did not. Didn't we straightly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's flesh upon us. Look at what the Bible says. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And after they had reasoned together, after they had found that we better leave them alone, after a wise man came forth and told them, leave them alone. If what they're saying is not true, it will be reason. People won't believe them. They'll end up dying just like the others died. So don't worry about all of this, says Gamaliel. Don't worry about it. They end up like Judas, or they may end up like one of the others. Just end up passing away. But I want you to know that they found out that what was being taught was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they continued steadfastly to teach nothing but the word of truth. They turned the world upside down by letting men know we ought to obey God rather than man. I tell you tonight, we can turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ. When the world says stop preaching, stop teaching the truth of God's word, we can turn the world upside down by continuing to teach the scriptures. We can turn the world upside down by showing the fellowship of love that prevails with the children of God. We can turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ by being committed to what we're doing and letting the world know we ought to obey God rather than man. May God bless you and may God keep you. That's my prayer.